Magazine, November 2020 issue. Prevention Health. Many but mighty, this tiny gland is snuggled behind the lungs. Meet your thymus. This disappearing organ is shrouded in mystery, but this much is clear. It plays a vital role in our immunity and how we age. By Adele Jackson Gibson. Number 1. Disease Fighting Army Base. If your immune cells were soldiers, your thymus, an H-shaped gland that sits behind your breastbone and your heart, would be one of their boot camps. The thymus puts the T in T lymphocytes. The T cells that fight bacteria, viruses, and cancer to protect you from illnesses. This gland is very active in the baby years, hosting young stem cells until they mature and specialize. Some grow up to be killers that attack invaders. Some become helpers that assist the killer cells or aid antibody production. Others are the sheriffs that keep T cells from running amok. After puberty, basic training ends, and we've set with nearly all the self-reproducing T cells we need for the rest of our lives. This is why poor thymic development in childhood could lead to weak immune system. Luckily, this is rare. Number 2. Now you see it. Weirdly enough, the thymus pulls a vanishing act called involution. As you get older and it becomes less active, the thymus cells are replaced with fat cells and the gland shrinks. A thymus that weighs 37 grams when you're a college freshman might be only 6 grams by the time you're retired. While experts are still trying to understand why this happens, many believe the rate of shrinkage sets the pace for our immunity's natural decline over time. This atrophy could be the reason we become less adaptable to new pathogens and more susceptible to cancer as we age. Researchers are now looking at ways to delay Mother Nature to bolster the thymus, but slowing down its natural shrinkage too much may increase the risk of malfunction and possible autoimmune conditions. Number 3. Boost your immunity. To keep your thymus humming, check your zinc levels. A deficiency in this mineral has been shown to decrease thymic activity, weaken the immune system, and cause hair loss, diarrhea, and eye or skin sores. If you're experiencing any of these symptoms, see your doctor about a blood test. You may need a supplement. Signs that your thymus isn't working right: if your eyes keep drooping, your speech is slurred, and you're getting progressively weaker throughout the day, you could have myasthenia gravis, a not-so-common condition in which the thymus gland blocks signals sent to activate your muscles. To lower the risk of thymus issues like this, focus on boosting your overall immunity through restorative sleep, a balanced diet, and regular exercise. The end. The Doctor Is In: The Hysterectomy Decision by Lauren Stryker, MD. Dr. Stryker is a clinical professor of obstetrics and gynecology at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine. She's the author of The Essential Guide to Hysterectomy. After years of putting up with monthly flood-like periods, you've consulted with your doctor, who has advised you that the time has come to get rid of the source of the bleeding and proceed with a hysterectomy. Before you check your calendar to schedule surgery, you may want to consider whether removing your uterus is your only and best option. Roughly 500,000 hysterectomies are performed every year. While approximately one-third of American women, most between the ages of 40 to 44, will eventually lose their uteruses, Black women are consistently the most likely to have a hysterectomy. One logical explanation is that Black women are at the highest risk for developing fibroid tumors, by far the most common reason for the surgery. The racial disparity isn't seen after age 50, when fibroids are rarely an issue. That said, one factor in the disproportionate number of young Black women undergoing hysterectomy is that many Black women live in areas where alternatives to the surgery are not offered, and they're less likely to be informed that they have other options. One study revealed that 38% of women of all races were never even offered an alternative despite the availability of other safe, effective treatments that can be considered before proceeding with the surgery. Ultimately, what empowers women is the ability to make a good choice, whether it's surgery or not, based on accurate, balanced, and scientific information. Understanding alternatives. Five major categories send someone down the road to this surgery. After fibroid tumors, abnormal bleeding is the most common diagnosis. Pelvic pain, often from endometriosis, is next on the list, followed by pelvic organ prolapse, such as a dropped uterus, bladder, or rectum. Last, and reasonable for the smallest number of hysterectomies, is gynecologic cancer. Other than cancer, virtually every one of these diagnoses has many alternative treatments, which in some, but not all cases, will eliminate the need for removal of the uterus. For example, many fibroids can be shrunk with fibroid embolization or removed myomectomy, while leaving the uterus in place. Heavy bleeding can often be reduced with medication. Endometrial ablation or placement of a progestin IUD. Endometriosis can be suppressed using a number of different medications, and the associated pain can be reduced with pelvic floor physical therapy, a treatment that can also sometimes be used for pelvic organ prolapse. Women who do go ahead with a hysterectomy are often not offered a minimally invasive procedure, vaginal, laparoscopic, or robotic, as opposed to removal of the uterus through a traditional abdominal incision. This is particularly true for Black women, who are half as likely as white women to undergo a minimally invasive hysterectomy, meaning they end up with not only a longer recovery time, but also increased risk of surgical complications. When is hysterectomy the best option? Still, it's important to emphasize that many hysterectomies are appropriate and beneficial. Defining unnecessary hysterectomy is actually somewhat subjective. Some would say that the only women who need a hysterectomy are those who risk death if they forego the procedure. Using that criterion, only around 10% of women who end up with a hysterectomy needed it. However, if one considers need more broadly, quality of life should be taken into account. That means that even if a hysterectomy is not life-saving, it may still be a woman's best option. Some women are willing to put up with a lot to avoid losing their uteruses, fertility being one reason, and are willing to have frequent visits to the gynecologist, ultrasounds, endometrial biopsies, and alternative therapies. Other women are done with the bleeding, the pain, say from endometriosis, the feeling that they've single-handedly supporting the tampon and pad industry and planning their lives around their periods. It is an injustice to women to insist that they undergo multiple less effective treatments rather than one definitive treatment that will provide a permanent cure if the latter is what they feel is in their own best interest. I ran a national poll of women who'd had a hysterectomy and found that the overwhelming majority, 86%, were pleased with the result. Many commented that they wished they had done it sooner. The key is that they've decided hysterectomy was the best option after weighing all alternatives. Women who regretted the decision tended to be younger and specifically stated that they hadn't been offered any other option. Even after a woman decides hysterectomy is her best option, her decisions are just beginning. Laparoscopic, robotic, vaginal, save the cervix, remove the cervix, keep the ovaries, lose the ovaries. Ideally, every woman who faces this issue should be provided with information in an unbiased, objective, scientific way so she can make appropriate decisions based on her needs and desires. That way, women looking for alternatives won't feel they are being sold a procedure they're trying to avoid. And those who desire a hysterectomy will know what to expect. The end. Science. 5 myths about holiday eating. The biggest misconception that you must be vigilant about every bite during this food-filled time of the year. By Kate Rockwood. Myth number 1. You're destined to enter 2021 in bigger jeans. Mythbuster. If you gain weight over the holidays, it's unlikely to be much, research shows. But that doesn't mean you're imagining your tight waistband. Salty, sugary, fatty foods and alcohol cause bloating and water retention, which can make you look and feel as if you've put on a few, even if it's temporary, says Dana Angelo White, a registered dietitian and certified athletic trainer. True weight gain is only from fat or muscle, but water weight shifts can be pretty aggressive, she says. Most of that will disappear once you assume regular healthy habits, says Dawn Jackson Blattner, RDN, author of The Superfood Swap. Drink plenty of water, snack on fruits and veggies, walk on your lunch breaks. You know the drill, and you'll go back to normal soon. Myth number 2. Seasonal treats are the biggest reason you overeat. Mythbuster. Mom's sweet and salty pecan pie is irresistible, but it may not be the main reason you eat past the point of comfort during the holidays. The company is a big factor. We tend to eat more when we're socializing than we do when we're alone. Possibly as much as 48% more, research has found. To avoid munching unconsciously around others, tweak some of your habits. Instead of chatting over the cheese board, move your conversation to a room without food. Blattner says, rather than lingering after dessert, suggest a family walk or a game of cards. If you're at a restaurant, ask the server to take your dish away once you feel full. You can also center your get-togethers over around activity like ice skating than around food. Myth number 3. Working out extra hard can cancel out any overindulgence. Mythbuster. We're sorry to say it, but you can't really sweat away those festive treats. When researchers at Texas Tech University followed people, half of whom were active for the 6 weeks between Thanksgiving and the New Year, they found that both groups gained about the same amount of weight. More important, perceiving exercise as a way to cancel out overeating is an unhealthy mindset, Blattner says. Eating your favorite foods isn't something you should be punished for, she says. Try to mentally separate food from exercise and to embrace staying active for all its benefits beyond anything the scale may say. squeezing in a walk, or time on your yoga mat can boost your energy, improve your digestion, and help you manage stress. That's a win on multiple levels during the hectic holiday season. Myth number 4. It's good to detox and fast after the new year. Mythbuster. Making a sharp turn from sweets and stuffed meats to a juice cleanse is a setup for disaster. These highly restrictive regimens are just crash diets in disguise. Angela White says, they can wreak havoc on your metabolism and lead to overeating and abound weight gain. And they're not necessary. Most of us lose about a half of any holiday weight within a month. Research published in the New England Journal of Medicine found. This is mainly because people go back to their regular eating habits, Blattner says. Losing the rest, if you want to, calls for intentionality, not misery. Meet a friend for a walk instead of a fancy coffee break. Swap in sparkling water for wine for a while, and eat a variety of colorful produce. Such small tweaks can get the job done and are a lot easier to live with in the long run. Myth number 5. You should definitely replace higher fat, higher calorie holiday foods with healthier versions. Mythbusters. Sure, use Greek yogurt instead of mayo in your dip, or less sugar in your sugar cookie recipe if it feels like a purely positive swap. But if the healthier version of your favorite holiday dish seems restrictive, depressing, or diet-like, you may wind up doing extra nibbling and snacking later in the day. Blattner says, one study found that people who bought foods labeled as light could eat 13% more calories than those who ate full fat versions. It's better to stick to a sensible portion of the traditional celebratory food and really savor each bite. Eating slowly and mindfully not only enables you to enjoy your food more, but also helps you eat less of it, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The end. Does it work? Noise Busters by Lenya Floyd. In a world of loud neighbors, honking cars, and partners who snore, a good night's sleep is often just a dream. Our brains are always processing sound, even while we're sleeping, says Raj Desgupta, MD, an assistant professor of clinical medicine at the Keck School of Medicine, USC. A nighttime cacophony can negatively affect your health. Sleep deprivation impacts every cell in your body, Dr. Desgupta says. Various solutions are promoted as helping you find peace. Here is what the experts say. Wearables. What are they? Tiny in-ear buds or headbands that cover your ears with small speakers. Some incorporate pink noise, a more soothing variant of the TV static of white noise, or autonomous sensory meridian response, ASMR, sounds such as the swish of hair brushing. What we know, plenty of science supports noise cancellation, which involves an emitting sound that combats ambient noise. While research on ASMR is still new, a recent study in PLOS, one found that for some, it induces relaxation. Should you try this? Yes. They're safer than sleeping pills, says Dr. Descupta. Just make sure the device you use is comfortable and has a noise level rating of 32 or below, which will allow you to hear a smoke alarm. Put it on at the same time every night as part of your bedtime routine, suggests Timothy Young, MD, a neurologist with the Mayo Clinic Health System. You'll train your brain and get better results. Products to try. Quiet on noise canceling earbuds, $199. Sleep phones, ASMR edition, $100. Sound off pink noise earbuds, $100. Noise generators. What they are. Machines are apps that create sound, either a single noise or a repeating loop next to your bed to cancel out any that might keep you awake. What we know. Research shows that these types of devices can help you get higher quality sleep, particularly in loud environments. A study from Northwestern University found ones that generated pink noise to be especially effective in enhancing deep sleep. Should you try them? Yes, particularly if you don't want anything touching you while you sleep, as long as your bedmate is okay with hearing the noise. Or the sound too. Some people can get distracted when a noise loop restarts, says Michael J. Bruce, PhD, a clinical psychologist and a diplomat at the American Board of Sleep Medicine. If that might be a problem, he suggests trying a device with the word generator in its description. Products to try. iHome Zenergy Bedside Sleep Therapy Machine, $70. Yoga Sleep Dom Unosound Machine, $30. My Noise White Noise App, free. Guided Meditation. What it is. Recorded programs that talk you through mind-body practices such as breathing exercises to signal your brain that it's time to sleep. What we know. A small study in the Brain Research Bulletin showed that meditation could help the brain turn down the volume of sounds in the environment. Should you try it? Yes, though you may need other solutions too. While the technique is free and has plenty of wellness benefits, it may help you only in drifting off to sleep. If something goes bump in the night, it will probably still wake you up. says Dr. Descepta. Apps to try: Insight Timer, Calm, Headspace, Unplug Meditation. The end. Prevention food: Mocktail Hour. These drinks are just as festive as their boozy pals, and packed with vitamin C, potassium, and fiber. Cheers. Red Pear Shrub Spritz. Active 10 minutes. Total 50 minutes plus chilling. Serves 2. In saucepan, bring 1/3 cup sugar, 1 vanilla bean, 5 cardamom pods, and 1/2 cup water to a boil. Roughly chop 1 red pear. Cut a few thin slices off second pear and reserve, then roughly chop remaining and add chopped pear to saucepan. Simmer 10 minutes, then let stand 30 minutes. Strain and stir in 6 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar. Refrigerate until cold. Line 2 glasses with reserved pear slices. Divide vinegar mixture between glasses, 1/2 cup each, and top with club soda. Nutrition per serving: 169 calories, 0 grams protein, 41 grams carbs, 1 gram fiber, 38.5 grams sugars, 33 gram added sugars, 0 gram fat, 0 gram saturated fat, 0 mg cholesterol, 16 mg sodium. Okay, ginger hibiscus fizz. Active 5 minutes. Total 20 minutes. Serves 8. In small saucepan, bring 1 2-inch piece ginger sliced, 6 tablespoons of dried hibiscus, 3 tablespoons agave syrup, and 1 cup water to boil. Then simmer 5 minutes. Remove from heat and let stand 10 minutes. Then strain into pitcher. Stir in 2 cups of cold water for each serving. Pour 1/4 cup mixture into ice-filled glass and top with club soda. Nutrition per serving: 23 calories, 0 grams protein, 6 grams carbs, 0 gram fiber, 6 gram sugars, 6 gram added sugars, 0 gram fat, 0 gram saturated fat, 0 mg cholesterol, and 4 mg sodium. Guava margarita. Active 5 minutes, total 20 minutes, serves 1. Fill shaker with ice, then add 1/3 cup of guava nectar, 3 tablespoons of fresh orange juice, and 2 tablespoons of fresh lime juice. Shake and strain into glass rimmed with salt and filled with ice. Serve with slice of lime. Nutrition per serving: 78 calories, 1 gram protein, 20 gram carbs, 1 gram fiber, 14.5 gram sugars, 0 gram added sugars, 0 gram fat, 0 gram saturated fat, 0 mg cholesterol, and 486 mg sodium. Stay full. The nut butters, healthy fats, and protein, and the banana's fiber will help you stick till lunch. For breakfast, PB banana pancakes. Active 15 minutes, total 15 minutes, serves 4. 1 large, very ripe banana. 1/3 cup creamy peanut butter. 1 teaspoon, pure vanilla extract. 2 cups favorite pancake mix, plus any ingredients needed to make it. And 1 tablespoon of unsweetened cocoa powder, vanilla yogurt, banana, toasted nuts, and honey for serving. Number 1, mash the banana with any liquid or eggs mixed packaging calls for. Stir in peanut butter and vanilla. 2, combine pancake mix and cocoa. Stir in banana mixture until just blended. Cook per package directions. Serve with yogurt, banana, nuts, or honey if desired. Nutrition per serving: about 478 calories, 15 grams protein, 56 grams carbs, 2 gram fiber, 11 gram sugars, 2.5 gram added sugars, 24.5 gram fat, 6.5 gram saturated fat, 99 mg cholesterol, 895 mg sodium. Prevention family 60-second challenges. Get everyone giggling at your next family game night or Thanksgiving celebration with activities that put motor skills, powers of concentration, and wits to the test. Players have 1 minute to complete each challenge, but you can laugh as long as you want. By Mary Giles. The Great Puzzle Race. Cut the fronts and backs of several cereal boxes into puzzle pieces. Let each contestant choose a puzzle to solve. The easier front of a box for kids, the back of the box for adults, and see who can piece theirs together before the time is up. Speed building. Pull 15 to 20 boxes out of your recycling bin, from pasta boxes to shipping cartons, and tape them closed for stability. Challenge each contestant to see how high they can stack them. You can award a prize for using the most boxes, too. Cotton ball balance. Players must transfer as many cotton balls or pom-poms as they can from one bowl to another. Sound easy? They can use only their mouths and a plastic spoon. Ping pong pitch. Set up a bucket and give the player a pile of ping pong balls. Mark a throwing line about 6 feet from the bucket and see how many balls they can bounce into it from there. Have a rebounder on hand to return balls to the contestant. Penny file. Challenge each player to see how many pennies they can stack using only one hand. The end. Here are some fun tricks to teach Fido. Turns out you can teach a dog new tricks. Any dog, with a little patience and persistence. Trick training helps build communication and trust between you and your dog, says Carl Peterson, CEO of in-home training company Bark Busters, and also helps your dog balance, strength, and flexibility. Here are tricks and training games from Peterson's and Kahara Schutzner, 2020, chair of the Association of Professional Dog Trainers, that build on basic obedience skills like Come Down and Stay by Liz Schumer. Roll over. This one's a classic for a reason. It is easy to learn and looks adorable. Start out kneeling in front of your dog as they're lying down. Hold a treat at the side of their head opposite the direction in which you want them to roll. Move the treat from their nose to their other shoulder while saying, "Roll over." Their body will naturally follow the treat. After they roll, praise them and give them the treat. Repeat until they recognize the cue and can do it without a treat. Hide and seek. Give your dog some exercise while practicing come skills. Bring them into a room and tell them to stay if they know that cue, or drop a few treats to distract them. Hide in another room and, from there, tell your pup, "Come." When they find you, praise them and offer another treat. For fun sensory stimulation, have multiple people hide in different places around the house, calling your dog's name. Doggy push-ups. Give your furry friend a workout with this easy trick that builds on the down cue. With your dog lying down at your side or in front of you, say, "Stand," or "Up," while raising a treat in your hand. As they rise to follow it, praise them and give them the treat. Alternate between down and stand for a few rounds. Find the treat. Dogs are great at pattern recognition, so test the natural aptitude. Have your dog sit or lie down around 10 feet away from 3 or 4 empty cups. When you have their attention, place a treat or a treasure toy under one cup. Then ask, "Where's the treat?" When your pup finds the correct cup, give them a treat, and lots of praise. Once they get that down, try moving the cups around or pretending to put treats under several cups to make it harder. Take a bow. All good performers end a show with a curtain call. Stand facing your pup and hold a treat in your fist at the height of their nose. Gently press your hand to their nose and guide it downward while saying bow. When the dog's elbows reach the floor, give them a treat, praise them, and move your hand away. Tricks like these require knowledge of basic cues. Sites like APDT.com and BarkBusters.com can help. Schutzner also recommends you can train your dog by Pam Dennison, $18, PamDennison.com. Keeps sessions to 15 minutes or so, and entice your dog with a treat or toy until they learn the verbal cue. The ER, to go or not to go. The pandemic may have made you second guess a trip to the emergency room, and in some cases, that might be a good thing. I'm happy when families don't rush to the ER for conditions that can be treated in primary care, like ear infections, pink eye, strep throat, and rashes, says Katie Lockwood, MD, an attending physician at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. But because true emergencies still require an ER, here's how to make the best, safest decisions for your family, by Holly Pevsner. Fever. Families often bring kids to the ER for fevers, but it's usually not necessary, says C. Anthony Lim, MD, Director of Pediatric Emergency Medicine at Mount Sinai Health System in New York City. I tell parents to monitor symptoms and use Motrin or Tylenol if necessary. However, you should go to the ER if your baby is less than 2 months old and has a fever of 100.4 or more. Seek swift help if a child of any age has severe neck, abdominal, or headache pain with a fever. Call the pediatrician or urgent care if the fever lasts more than 3 days or is accompanied by vomiting or fever lowers but your child is listless. Be aware, though, that in general, urgent care centers are less equipped for pediatric conditions, says Dr. Lim. Call your pediatrician first. Also, call the doc if you know that your kid recently was exposed to COVID-19 or traveled to a COVID-19 hotspot. 2. Vomiting and diarrhea. Vomiting and diarrhea are most often symptoms of a stomach bug or a mild case of food poisoning that can be dealt with safely in the comfort of your home. However, you should go to the ER if your child shows signs of dehydration, such as a lack of tears, dry lips, or decreased urine output. With a baby, keep an eye out for fewer than 3 wet diapers in a day, or a sunken soft spot. If vomiting occurs following a head injury or the child is throwing up blood, go to ER, says Dr. Lim. Call the pediatrician if your child also has persistent abdominal pain, especially if it drifts from the midsection to the lower right abdomen, a sign of appendicitis. Additionally, reach out if they have bloody stool or a high fever, more than 102 Fahrenheit. They can't keep down clear liquids or symptoms intensify. Number 3, burns or other injuries. These can be sudden and scary. So here's what to do. Go to the ER if your child lost consciousness, experienced persistent vomiting or intense headache, or is lethargic, or not making sense after an injury. Large burns, obvious broken bones, neck injuries, or animal bites on the face or hands also require an ER visit. For a wound, go to the ER if it is bleeding profusely or wide open. Call a pediatrician or urgent care if your child bonked his head but didn't lose consciousness, you're unsure whether they have a sprain or a break, or they have a minor burn. Also call if you suspect that your child's wound requires sutures, but it's not an obvious emergency. Some providers can put in stitches. The end. Here for the sides. We all know the real stars of Thanksgiving dinner, so give your marshmallow sweet potatoes some healthy competition this year with these fresh, flavorful side dishes. Like roasted cauliflower salad with cranberry vinaigrette. This builds bone health. Cauliflower is loaded with vitamin K, which is crucial for maintaining bone density. Then, green beans with almond gremolata. Protect your eyes. Almonds are rich in vitamin E, which helps prevent the breakdown of eye tissue and could lower the risk of vision problems and eye diseases. Mustard glazed Brussels sprouts. Stay healthy for life. Brussels sprouts contain compounds that have anti-inflammatory properties and may reduce the risk of cancer. Wild rice stuffed acorn squash. Avoid a cold. A cup of acorn squash has 20% of your daily value for vitamin C, which has been shown to help the body fight off infection. Herb smashed root veggies. Keep muscles strong. The powerful combo of veggies in this dish gives you calcium, a mineral necessary to maintain muscle function. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and give you the recipe to the herb smashed root veggies. This is active 20 minutes. Total 45 minutes. Serves 8. 1/2 pound parsnips peeled, 6 cloves garlic peeled and roughly chopped, 1/2 pounds rutabaga peeled and cut into 1-inch pieces, 1 pound Yukon gold potatoes peeled and cut into 1.5-inch pieces. 1/2 pound carrots peeled and cut into 1-inch pieces. 6 sprigs fresh thyme. 4 sprigs fresh rosemary. 4 sprigs fresh flat leaf parsley. Kosher salt and pepper. 1/4 cup olive oil. Chopped fresh chives for serving. Number 1. Quarter parsnips lengthwise. Then cut out and discard woody centers. Cut parsnips into 1-inch pieces. Number 2. Place parsnips, garlic, rutabaga, potatoes, carrots, and herbs in large saucepan. Cover with cold water. And bring to a boil. Add 1 teaspoon salt and simmer until vegetables are tender, which is about 12 to 15 minutes. Number 3. Remove and discard herbs. Reserve 1/2 cup cooking liquid. Then drain vegetables and return them to the pot. Drizzle oil over veggies. Season with 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. And using potato masher, smash vegetables, adding some of the reserved liquid if the vegetables seem dry. Sprinkle with chives before serving if desired. The nutrition is, per serving, 161 calories, 2 grams protein, 24 grams carb, 5 grams fiber, 6 grams sugar, 0 grams added sugar, 7 grams fat, 1 gram saturated fat, 0 mg cholesterol, and 181 mg sodium. And this is Ann Jackson, and I was reading from Prevention Magazine, November 2020 issue. And until next time, God bless and stay safe.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, USA Today, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 3.
This is a Recording Library of West Texas Community Update.
The Humane Society of Odessa, 7012 Mockingbird Lane, is offering curbside adoptions, vaccines, warmer, and more. Shelter hours are from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Only one person is allowed in the office and kennels at this time. For applications, vaccine, or additional information, call 381-5503 or 257-4311 or email shelter@odessahumanesociety.org. To see current pets available or to private message the shelter, visit www.facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa.
The Permian Basin is currently experiencing an unprecedented slowdown because of lower demand and an escalation in foreign production of oil. To keep current, we bring you the weekly Business and Oil Report. Each week, Recording Library volunteers and staff read the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American Business and Oil pages. Friday mornings at 6 and repeated Sunday nights at 7 and Thursdays at 4 a.m. on Recording Library of West Texas Radio. Read by listening.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland, Odessa area. It's 71 and clear. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid 50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 2 p.m.
Hello, this is Melanie, and I'm reading today's USA Today, Tuesday, November 17th, 2020. Starting with the money section, under the money line column, there are three short articles. First, PNC Bank to buy subsidiaries.